San Francisco 49ers voluntary workouts begin on today. I'm excited. You got the draft buzz heating up. There's some players going around that I think are going to be San Francisco 49ers. And we're going to talk about the latest on the Brandon Ayuk trade rumors. All that and more right here on the Rain Breezy Show. Hit that like button, y'all, and stick around. So bright that we shine at. All we do is the Niners. Ready, go, let us find us. We're too faithful to the bay. I be sipping gold bar whiskey on the rocks. And a 24 karat gold on a watch. My 7-1 Chevy be tipping nonstop. Sounding like Trent Williams on the block. So you know we can't stop. We be banging through your speakers. Wayne Breezy on the field or in the bleachers. You can tune into my show and I'm a teacher. Wayne Breezy, the 4-9 preacher. We so bright that we shine. What's going on, 49er faithful? Won't you ride with me as we keep it faithful to the Bay? As always, man, welcome so much. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Wayne Breezy Show. It's Monday morning. Time to wake up, baby. Monday afternoon as well. Those out here on the East Coast, 1 p.m., we're back. And, you know, it's good because there's some new things going on with the 49ers, man. The voluntary workouts began. Voluntary, keyword. So don't trip if you don't see your favorite player out there, okay? Don't trip if you don't see your favorite player. These are voluntary. Trust me, the OTAs will happen very shortly in May after the draft. Literally the week after the draft. I'm so excited. Like right after the draft, we get the OTAs, the organized team activities. And then you get mandatory camp, you know, and so that's where the players got to be there if they want to earn those workout bonuses and all those things. You know, they want to make some extra bread. But shout out to everybody. Make sure you hit the like button. Thank you so much again for tuning in. Hit the like button right here on the YouTube channel. If you're new to the stream, hit that like button. If you've never been here before and it's your first time coming across the Wayne Breezy Show, which is a 49ers content created show for you guys, the faithful, hit that subscribe button. Make sure you tell a friend to tell a friend. And if you want to become a member of the Breezy Bunch crew and join this just phenomenal, amazing chat that's going on to my right over here. It's popping already. I'm just seeing messages, right? If you want to be a part of that crew, man, make sure you go ahead and join the channel as well. You can also subscribe right here if you like to listen to it. To all my listeners out there that listen to the podcast, thank you. Salute to you. Matter of fact, round of applause to you. If I could write this up as like a book, man, trust me, I would. We got people that like to read. We got people that like to listen. And we got people that like to watch, right? And so, look, I appreciate you guys over there. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all the podcasting streaming sites. I thank you, man. Make sure you guys continue to rate it and leave some comments, especially the interactions on Spotify. Listen, Apple, you got to step up your interactions. Spotify is killing it, man. We could do a Q&A. We could do a poll on Spotify. Spotify is killing the podcast platform. So, Apple. All right, man. But thank you, man. Please subscribe to that as well. You can also follow me on X as well. You can subscribe there at the Wayne Breezy, and as well as on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok at the Wayne Breezy. Now, listen, I do exclusive content right here on the Patreon. So you can go to www.patreon.com/@thewaynebreezy. You're going to get your right now. We got the mock draft thing going on. And then I do a special episode called Friday Night Lights, where we sit and we watch some film. We watch some highlights on a specific player that's got a top visit with the San Francisco 49ers. And speaking of that, we'll get into some of those players. We'll start with that. We got some top visit players with the 49ers. And every Friday, I break down at least one. So I give you one guy that the 49ers have a top visit with, which means they're going to come out to San Francisco 49ers camp and visit with the crew. And so we'll get to that at the very beginning of the show. But I do want to show some love to those out there in the chat, because, you know, I just talk for forever. So we got Peachy in the building. She says salute to Breezy, the faithful, queens and kings. Peachy first in the building. Thank you, Peachy. I appreciate you. My boy Oscar's in the building 100%. Listen to the Breezy Bunch crew. Miss Debbie, hey there. Wayne, blessings to everyone joining. Hit that like button. Be sure to subscribe. Share this with your friends and family. Y'all, I see my sis Tanya, man. Danny's up in here. Media's up in here. Marty Marr, 49er Empire. He says, B.A. is really going to want to get paid. And we're going to talk about the Devontae Smith extension with the Philadelphia Eagles and how this kind of might shape what's going to happen with the San Francisco 49ers. Let me just put this out there, right? And shout out to my brother, Nick Nice, 21. Is it 415? That's not. What does 415 mean? Is it four? There's 421, right? But what does 415 mean? I'm lost. I thought 420. Sorry, it's 420. It's 415 like the preview to 420? I do know today is the WNBA draft. That I do know. But I don't know what 415 is. So, Ty, explain that to me because I'm lost in the sauce, all right? So here we go. You ready with this? I'm going to put this out there. Look, I'm at the point now in my life where I just don't think that the San Francisco 49ers give two flying about what other teams pay their players. I think at this point they don't care anymore. I think they just don't care. I think they have a number and they only care about what that number is and what they're going to do with that player. So I'm not saying that they're not paying attention to what's going on with all the other players in the league getting their deals. I will say that I hope that the San Francisco 49ers get this done before Jay Jettas gets his contract extension and Jamar Chase and things like that. Because if not, we're going to have to. Oh, OK. So it's just an area code. My bad. I thought it was a cool day. You know what I mean? Like 420. I thought we were prepping for 420. You know what I mean? I got to make sure I do a show on 420. I thought we were prepping for 420. 49ers _ throwbacks says good morning. Peach, Wayne, Media, Tanya, everybody in the chat. Shout out to you, brother. I appreciate you. And I'm with you. I don't think the 49ers absolutely care about what other guys are getting paid. They should. But I just don't think that they're a team in this point in time and matter where they care in life. But this could be good and this could be bad. Because when you look at that Devontae extension, let me see what it is. My boy Golden Dragon number 5 put it. It says Eagles just signed Devontae Smith for 3 years, $75 million extension, which pays him and wide receiver AJ Brown top wide receiver money. Can somebody get me the guarantee in this, please, real quick? I mean, I'm sure I could try to pull it up, but I don't want to take my attention away from you guys. But God Lord, he got paid. He got some bread. Number one, number two. This to me, I don't think this is tier two wide receiver. I guess you could say this is tier two wide receiver money, but this is some bread. But I think the guarantee money is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Peachy says it's $51 million guarantee. Didn't I tell y'all to pay attention to the guaranteed money? That's the only number that matters in these contracts. I know we see big numbers and all that good stuff, but the only number that really matters is that guaranteed and how much the 49ers are going to, how much of the contract that they're guaranteed to pay the player throughout the length of the contract. And that's kind of what is really going to hit them every year on the cap. Everything else is kind of like fluff and nutter, or whatever you want to call it, right? So look, $51 million guaranteed. I'm telling you, Ayuk is going to be pushing for that $60 million guarantee because Debo, if I'm not mistaken, I think Debo's guarantee was $58 million, right? And so I think Ayuk, when you get to his contract, and we'll get into that, I think he's going to be pushing toward that number. So Devontae Smith just got paid, which means that, you know, these wide receivers, Tanisha, what's going on? These wide receivers are going to be the market is going to continue to rise. I mean, at the end of the day, and so look, the salary cap rises. You could expect the wide receiver money to rise, especially if they're doing number one things. Like, you shouldn't mind. Got a poll question going on. Should the 49ers, though, pay two top-tier wide receiver money? Two top-tier. Oscar says, been saying five. That's a long contract. In my opinion, that's a long contract for me. Five-year guarantee, 5 years, $125 million. But that I wouldn't be mad if that's what the Niners are trying to look for, because that money is less per year. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, because of the length of the contract. It's like buying a car, you know? You pay less per month the more years you're paying on it, but, you know, the interest kick in, you pay more interest. But at the end of the day, like, if that is, I don't know if that's what Brandon Ayuk's agent is going to be pushing for. They're definitely going to be pushing for that high guarantee number and probably less years. But Ayuk is pretty young. You know what I mean? He's not as old as what Deebo was when he signed his extension. This is going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy. Listen, we'll talk about that. I promise. We're going to cap off the show with some Brandon Ayuk and all the rumors that's going around and things like that. Man, it's just crazy, man. What a crazy freaking weekend. What a crazy weekend. But Oscar, thank you for the comment, bro. I wouldn't be mad if they do offer him that. I believe we paid George Kittle top tier money at some point. Don't Bother Me says no need to pay two top tier wide receivers when they are not featured. All right, so I mean, listen, hey, you ain't lying. You're not, but it's all about the option. It's all about optics, option, matchups, you know, and the ability to do or feature these two top tier wideouts. Because when you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, they make sure that they find a way to feature both, but they lacking in the tight end. And to me, they lack in the tight end department. So it's one less option, right? They don't have the same pizzazz in the running back department. So that's another option they lack in. I kind of get what you're saying, but I think for the 49ers, I think they want premium options in certain positions. Excuse me. That's just what I think, but I ain't mad at you if you feel it don't make sense to pay him. You know what I'm saying? If you ain't going to feature him. But look, hey, who knows? But all I know is that the Niners don't give two flying what other teams and other players are getting paid. I think they got a number. And what a crazy weekend that we had, like where some news went down and rumors came out. And then it was just like, what? And then it was just like, oh, man. And then it was just like, oh, okay. Oh, okay. All right. So let's talk about before we get into the got the voluntary workouts kicking off. And for those that don't know what this means, it's just players are going to come out and practice. You know what I'm saying? If they want, you know, they kind of come and show out. And they get some workouts in. It's not nothing. It's really kind of like ran by the players. It's not an organized team activity. It's not a practice from the head coach. It's the players. They can show up to the door. Pretty much the goddamn doors are open at the facilities for players to get some working out in, right? So they can lift weights. They can go out there. They can get on the football field. And this is cool because Brock Purdy, right? Brock Purdy will finally, I think this is his first voluntary workout where he can actually participate, right? This would be his first full off season as a starting quarterback. Let's clap it up for Brock Purdy, man. Do you know how excited I am that Brock Purdy, who had an MVP-esque type of a season, Brock Purdy had an MVP season, and he didn't have an off-season workout. Matter of fact, we didn't even know last year he was going to be fully cleared to play until he was fully cleared to play. And then we didn't even know how he was going to perform. We had some of ours that were a little skeptical. Oh, like he can't throw the ball hard. He can't throw the ball long. He can't, like, we had to, everybody was skeptical. I get it. He had UCL surgery. I think that's what it's called. They probably forgot about it. I felt like nobody's talking about it anymore because it's not even a thing. Is like Brock Purdy defy all odds. All the other quarterbacks that had that type of injury will now be obsolete because this former seventh round pick, aka Mr. Irrelevant, aka now relevant, that's like defied the. I had the surgery and boom, I came back and I almost won MVP. I think that's crazy, right? So it's amazing now Brock Purdy fully healthy, right? No elbow issues, no arm issues, nothing wrong with him. He's going to come into voluntary camp workouts April 15th, which is today, and get to throwing with some of his weapons. I'm hoping to see, my boy Ronnie Bell out there. I want to see Ronnie Bell take a step up. Let me ask you this, guys. Second-year player. Give me your second-year player that you want to see leap forward in 2024. Mine's Ronnie Bell, but there's a slew of them. I'll throw some names out there. Robert Beal Jr., Darrell Luter Jr., D. Winters, Jalen Graham. These are all the rookies. Freak, you could pick Jake Moody for all I care. Jair Brown. I feel like Jair Brown is going to take off, man. I feel like, man, give me a name, and I'll tell you what I feel about him. My man, media, Jair Brown. It's going to take off. It's going to take off. Collie, Jair Brown's going to take off. Oscars with the D. Winters. I'm a linebacker and running back by nature. I want to see these guys do the dang thing, right? D. Winters, I'm curious to see, will he be able to fulfill that Dre Greenlaw role? They brought him in here, and he was kind of spelling Dre Greenlaw as the weak side linebacker, all right, or the will linebacker. And he's the one that's going to kind of drop back in coverage. And he has the speed, go from side to side. And he has the ability to blitz. What are we going to get from D. Winters? I like this. We got a couple of D. Winters, more Jair Browns. That's it. That's all y'all want to say. Me, I'm the only one that want to see Ronnie Bell. Listen, Ronnie Bell, right, didn't have a ton of targets, right? Didn't have a ton of targets. But he had 3 touchdowns last year. Can you imagine? Oh, damn near all in the red zone. It's a red zone touchdown guy. I you know, Jalen Graham, my man Kylie Luck, I would love to see Jalen Graham. He's spelled as the Mike linebacker, which is the Fred Warner position. If you guys remember him being mic'd up and stuff like that throughout the preseason, wasn't necessarily utilized last year much. Did dress up a game or two, played special teams, but he was mainly like inactive for the season. Finally, we got some names. Manuel, my man Robert Beal Jr. Yeah, like how will he progress? Did he get stronger? I'm hoping he didn't lose his speed on the outside. Will they? How will the Niners find a way to utilize him? This is what the voluntary, the workouts are. You know, you get a quick glimpse at what these players are doing. And listen, they're just out there running and catching and throwing. They're not doing. They're not hitting. They don't have pads. They don't have anything like that. But it's really cool, right? So Ronnie Bell, for me, on the offensive side, is the player that I want to see. I want to see him. I want to see his breaks. And his route running. I'm going to see if he got a little bit better in that. And if you guys remember, Ronnie Bell was the one spelling, since we talk about spelling, wide receiver Brandon Ayuk. When Brandon Ayuk was out, Ronnie Bell was the guy that went in and then that spot. He didn't go to the Deebo role. He went to that role. They used other wide receivers in the Deebo role when he was out, like Ray McLeod and so forth. They would use Ronnie Bell really to spell Brandon Ayuk, which is curious. Like, I'm curious to see how the Niners tend to try or want to try to use him this year, but I want to see if he got a little bit better in his route running and those different types of things. Defensively, I got to go with my boy Darrell Luter Jr. He was the kid that I fell in love with at the Senior Bowl because he didn't give up one pass. He was last year's. Now it's different. I'm not comparing these two in any kind of way. I'm just talking about as far as what they did at the Senior Bowl. Okay, don't get this twisted. But last year, he was who this year's Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo is. Like, he was the talk of the Senior Bowl last year. He just wouldn't give up a pass. He was stingy on defense. So to get him in the 5th round, I thought might be a steal. Not an inside guy, more of an outside cornerback. So I'm hoping he comes in injury free and just balls out and moves up the depth chart. So my man 49er Media says, I want to see what Darrell Jeter Jr. looks like as well. It's going to be interesting to see. What's going on, Maria? Shout out to my man Mike McDaniels over there on Facebook. My man Ronnie 33 is in the building. Says, happy Monday, everyone. Oscar says, ask Chapman who said Purdy for MVP last August. Was that you, Oscar? Purdy for MVP last August? Are you going to do it again? I'm just curious. Are you going to do it again? A lot of people was giving my boy Jake Moody a lot of flack, and I get it. What was he ranked? What, 22 or 23 out of kickers? Not mad, but he's an 84% kicker as a rookie. I felt like he didn't miss many, but the ones that he missed just came at the worst opportune times ever, right? but he definitely made some at the worst opportune times ever. So I felt like Jake Moody, in my opinion, I would like to just see him be more confident because he can be an accurate kicker in this league. And I just need him to ooze confidence for me, you know, when it comes to Jake Moody. Now, listen, we're going to do our preseason, you know, awards, like who we think are going to win MVP, all that type of stuff for sure. Oscar, I don't know. I don't think CMC will be MVP this year. I don't think it will be a CMC MVP-esque year. I think the Niners are going to look to try to feature some other guys, and CMC will still be dynamic, but I don't think he would get the MVP votes. I want to be wrong. I do. But I would like to see the 49ers use their running backs core this particular season, all right? So this particular season. So, yes, first day of voluntary workouts to begin on today. I'm sure we'll get some footage and all that good stuff, you know, around the league or whatnot. Let's talk about, before we get into the draft buzz, because in the chat, guys, listen, I want you to put your draft crush in the chat. Like, who's your draft crush? Like, if there was one player that you want the 49ers to draft, who would that be? Who is your draft crush? We got it's draft time. We got to talk about some stuff at, you know, for the draft, which is next week. Oh my gosh, the draft is next week. It's 10 days away. Oh shoot, right? So guys, who is your draft crush? Now, we got some draft news, some draft buzz going on. We got more players getting those visits in right now. We got a total of, I believe, 14 players that have visits with the 49ers. Here's my list. We got Evan Anderson, defensive lineman out of FAU. Caden Wallace. I just did a Friday Night Light special on Caden Wallace. Listen, if you can subscribe to the Patreon, go do it so you can watch that episode. Yo, I know he's not a top tier tackle because Olu Fashanu is the one that they're talking about out of Penn State. Caden Wallace was a beast, and I think he gave it like one sack on the whole year. Like he was a problem, has things he needs to work out on, but he's a true right tackle. All right. Andrew Phillips is probably my favorite cornerback after Quinyon Mitchell. It's like Quinyon Mitchell then Andrew Phillips. Andrew Phillips was the one that stuck out to me at the Senior Bowl, other than Quinyon out of Toledo. So Andrew Phillips out of Kentucky, also did a Friday night video on him. This kid has become one of my favorite wide receivers, Javon Baker out of UCF, 6'1". This kid can move. His route running is smooth. He has the full route tree at that height. Doesn't have the 40 speed that you want. Like, it's a 4.5 guy. I don't care. He has a catch radius that's phenomenal. He can catch contested catches. That's phenomenal. You can easily get him probably in the third or fourth round. It's going to be some people that's really high on Javon Baker. Brandon Dorlus, defensive lineman out of Oregon. He's one of my favorites. He's not a tweener, but he can play both. He could play inside, he could play outside. Trevin Wallace, linebacker out of Kentucky. Malachi Corley, a lot of people out of Western Kentucky is saying that he's the next Deebo Samuel in the league. Brendan Rice, which is the son of Jerry Rice, top visit. Jamal Hill, linebacker cornerback out of Oregon. All right, linebacker cornerback out of Oregon. Show Smith Wade, another cornerback out of Washington State. Marshawn Nealon, I did a Friday Night Lights video on him as well. This kid's production wasn't super duper high, but gosh darn it, his motor is through the roof. He doesn't take a play off, and he looks phenomenal. Western Michigan, check him out. Sione Vaki, I did a Friday Night Lights video on him. His versatility just screams 49ers to me. Man, you could get a guy that can play safety and running back at the same damn time in the same game. I would be scared of that play. Like, get this. I would love to see what he looks like in red and gold and see if he can come out and be something extra on special teams. Definitely a good piece. Michael Hall, newly added to the list, defensive tackle out of Ohio State. Just a nice, not a huge interior defensive tackle, but has the perfect size and speed combination that can get inside. He can take up, you know, line up in that three technique or whatever it is you need in the lineup. I think the three technique is where he'll thrive in and just be a problem from Ohio State. It's really hard for me to give up props to players from Ohio State, but I'm not biased. And the Camryon Richardson, cornerback out of Mississippi State, was newly added to the list. So the Niners have a 16 more players that they're going to get in here within the next, I would say, few 10 days, right? Because before the draft, they want to get these players in there for a special workout. So listen, these top 30 players are going to be a problem. All right, so I asked you guys who your draft crushes were, and I'm going to talk about a player right now that just seems to be doing a thing. But before we do that, Big Daddy Niners 6 month member. Thanks for touching down with your boy Breezy, man. Appreciate you, family. It's all love. I see some questions out there. I'll say those toward the end of the show. All right, you guys ready? So let me see. Let's see. Draft crushes. I got to scroll back up. Draft crushes. My man Poop says, get Kool-Aid McKinstry. Yes. Yes. Yeah, I like that. Listen, I asked who your draft crush was. I didn't say which team they had to go to. So Kool-Aid, but if you pick the player that you feel like that should go to the 49ers, excellent. I mean, all these players should go to the 49ers. Just some are just going to be out their reach. But I asked you who your draft crush was, so it doesn't matter. I like Kool-Aid McKinstry. He's definitely one of my top five DBs. I did do my DBs. He's one of my top five cornerbacks in the draft that I definitely think that the 49ers have a chance of getting, because you'll get a lockdown cornerback. I just feel like the 49ers need to draft a cornerback that is going to be a pit bull lockdown for the next 5 years. A first round pick for me, he'll probably go first or second round. That's the draft grade that I have on him. All right. Peachy comes up with my man, Marvin Harrison Jr. PG, don't be mad at me. He's my second favorite wide receiver in this draft. But he's probably the best wide receiver in this draft. So now you can be happy at me again. But he's my second favorite. My first favorite is Malik Nabers out of LSU. But he's my second favorite. Listen, Marvin Harrison Jr. will change the game. He just has all the tools. Can beat you deep. Can beat you underneath. Great catch radius. There's nothing much more I can say about the kid. Cooper DeJean. Now, this kid to me is a Swiss Army knife in your secondary, right? So how do you want to use him? I think he'll be best used as a safety, but he can play outside. He can play corner. He can play nickel. You could get him in there and have probably one of the greatest tools used in the secondary that the 49ers have never had in a long time. Like, they haven't had a guy like this in a long time. Not a huge body frame, but great in run defense, can tackle, and can cover. Cooper DeJean, if he finds himself available. Now, you got to remember, he's coming off of an injury. So is Kool-Aid McKinstry. So these are some of those two. Those are two players, two DBs. I wouldn't mind drafting at 31 if they're available. I just wouldn't. I just wouldn't. I'm sorry. I just wouldn't. My man Ben says, it's funny, not sure his name, but that kid from Michigan. Which kid? There's a few of them. There's a few kids from Michigan. I'm just curious. I'm curious to know which player you're talking about. Can't remember his name. So just maybe if you can give me his position, I can get the name probably, because, you know, I kind of know those Michigan players. Jordan Morgan. Listen, media, Jordan Morgan. I think he made my top five tackles for the 49ers. I like it because he will have the ability to be versatile, right? And so if they draft him, he's a predominant left tackle for Arizona. If they draft him, I can see them kicking him into guard, just like they did Spencer Burford, right? But I think he's an upgrade over Spencer Burford. So if you draft him, I think he has the ability to be a upgrade. He has the speed to kick outside. He can pull, he has the speed to pull. He's mean, right? And so that's kind of like what you want for them to kick him into as a guard. He's not going to play soft. The question is, can he play on the right side? That's my only discrepancy. Like, can he play on the right side? Can he play on the right side? Pat Wills says Jerry Rice. Unfortunately, we can't get Jerry Rice. All right. Sykes says no more Michigan guys. Ambry, Moody. Yeah, I don't understand the dislove on Jake Moody. I don't get it. I don't get it. I can't figure it out. Like, the dude is an 84% kicker, man. In his rookie season. I don't get it. All right. But listen, to each they own. I'm not mad. Trust me. I'm not mad. All right. So Marty Marr, 49er Empire, says, what do you know about T.O. Sons? So we talk about Tariq Owens. All right. So at his pro day, he performed very well. He's a 4-4 guy, and he had a hell of a pro day. He didn't have hella production in Missouri State. That's where he went to school. He didn't start there, but that's where he finished out his collegiate career. He's a underneath radar wide receiver that may go undrafted because of production and not invited to the combine to stand out on the big lights. But because of that, now that could be a gift, because if the 49ers are doing their due diligence and their homework, man, this kid is an athlete, right? This kid is an athlete. And so there's a possibility that Tariq Owens can get one of those type of become, if he doesn't get drafted, can become a UDFA. And I guarantee that the 49ers will have their radar on him, right? I guarantee it, because he performed really well to me at his pro day. Now it's all about getting him in the system and seeing where he will fit. Now, I feel like he's versatile to play any one of the wide receiver positions. But again, the production was really low. I think he finished the season with not even over 500 yards, less than 10 touchdowns. Just didn't do much to stand out his 2023 season, but he's built for wide receiver. He's faster than his dad. He has hands. He can get open. Like, he can do all the things. So to me, that's what the scouts get paid to do. It's not about the ones you see doing all the production. It's the hidden gems that you can find. That's what I was trying to say. He's a hidden gem. What's going on, Snoop? Green glass full. It's the hidden gems. Like, you know what I'm saying? All right, so you like TJ Tampa from Iowa State. Is he, like, I'm trying to figure out, like, is he just a super physical DB cornerback on the outside? Like, is that what he specializes in? Like, more press man? Is he good in zone? Like, I didn't see it. I haven't really watched film on him, but I see a lot of people mentioning him, Poco. I'm curious to see what you know more, what you know about TJ Tampa. Not a tall wide receiver. I don't even think he's 6 feet, if I'm not mistaken, off the top of my head. Big Daddy Niners says Luke McCaffrey. Draft crushes, guys. We're going over draft crushes. Love it. Luke McCaffrey is probably the smoothest slot wide receiver. Smooth. Like, his routes are smooth. And for 1 year playing the position, I mean, you could just tell he's a smart football guy. And I think that the Niner, he would be a weapon. Like, you know what I mean? He wouldn't be the best wide receiver in the league, but when he gets the opportunity, he would be used and utilized as a weapon. The last time I checked, Niners liked weapons. So I'm not mad. I'm not mad at my man Lukey. All right. Luke McCaffrey is, Boats, you say he's not crazy athletic, but I don't know. It's there. He might not be as athletic as Christian, but he's faster than Christian. He's a little bit faster than his brother, and he should be a little taller. Great hands, though. And he's super smart. He's super smart. Not like Welsh. Like, he's taller than Wes Welker, but yes, the way he runs his routes are just really smooth. It's just like, put it like this. He's always open. He's always open. And he doesn't need the speed to get open. He has the quick and the footwork, and he just knows how to get open, especially underneath. I think that's what he would thrive in. You know what I mean? And I did meet him at the Senior Bowl. So, I just know he's just smart. He's just really smart. And, between him here, the wideouts at the Senior Bowl that really stood out to me was him, Roman Wilson, just off the top of my head. Like, those were two wideouts. You were like, yeah. They didn't have super speed. These are two slot guys that will have, if they go to the right system, they will have phenomenal rookie seasons. They would have phenomenal rookie seasons. Phenomenal. I knew that, Oscar. I just from TJ Tampa, the cornerback out of Iowa State, I knew he was a good press man corner. I just felt it. You want Junior Colson. If the Niners draft a linebacker early. I mean, obviously everybody wants the Peyton kid. But if the Niners choose to go Junior Colson or Jeremiah Trotter early, I would just be happy. But I kind of would think that means there's going to be some linebackers that won't make this roster. And they may be moving on from Dre Greenlaw. Like, not this season, obviously. Not this season, you know. Yeah. But that's the tier that Colson, Jeremiah Trotter, I feel like they fit in that tier, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. Jacob Cowling out of Arizona. You like Arizona, don't you? No pun intended. I mean, I know why, but yeah. Small guy. He would only be a slot receiver, though, for me. He would kind of replace Ray Ray McLeod, but Ray Ray would line up outside. He doesn't have a big body frame, and, you know, things like that. So, yo, you guys got some really good. But here's a name that's been getting a lot of draft buzz as of lately. You know, I did a mock draft a few weeks back. I drafted him. I remember, you know, someone putting out their film on Troy Fontanu out of Washington, and I asked about this guy. I said, this guy has what I think the 49ers need, you know? So Roger Rosengarten, right tackle, another predominant right tackle, has been getting a lot of draft buzz. Now, for those over the weekend, you guys know that the 49ers, you know, John Lynch, they attended the Washington Pro Day, the Washington Huskies. They attended the Pro Day. Several players to look at, from quarterback Michael Penix Jr., running back my man Dylan out there. He's a problem too. I know nobody wants to draft a running back. Edge rusher Braylon Trice. Listen, I like him too. I'm just so many players on this team I like, even though my team whipped that tail. There's so many players on this team that I like, right? And so this kid, Roger Rosengarten, can literally be a steal for the 49ers. I don't think that they would have to reach up to get him at 31, but then again, I could be wrong because teams are going to reach. The Niners, this might be the tackle. And let me just tell you why I feel like the Niners may be, you know, in on this particular player. You know what I'm saying? It's just the speed. And let me see if I could get my boy on here. He could talk a little bit more. I really like Rosengarten. I do. And I like him because of his athleticism. And can he block? Absolutely. Absolutely he could block. That's not a problem. Didn't give up many pressures or whatnot. But when I look at the 49ers offensive line, especially on the outside, and I look at Trent Williams, I know he's a freak of nature. Get me another freak on the other side. Like, give me another freak of nature on the other side. Don't give me a guy that is just strong in pass blocking or strong in run blocking. Give me a guy that's strong in both and is fast enough. His 10-yard split is faster than Trent Williams. Trent Williams is a 1.7. He's a 1.69. That 0.01 second is a huge difference, okay? It's a huge difference. And he's taller than Trent. At the end of the day, I would love for Roger Rosengarten to fit in with the San Francisco 49ers, especially on that right side. And here's the thing. He doesn't have to start, okay? He doesn't have to start, which means if the Niners took him at 31, all right? If the Niners took him at 31, don't be mad. Trust me, don't be mad. I'm trying to remind y'all that the San Francisco 49ers aren't drafting for 2024. They're just not. The team is built to win now. So they're not drafted for 2024. And you guys keep saying you want to get better, you want to get better, you want to get better. Okay, so let them draft the players that they see fit, that's going to fit them, that's going to make them better in a year or two from now. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm starting to get to this point where if the Niners can draft Roger Rosengarten and Caden Wallace in the same draft, or what's the kid out of Missouri, Javon Foster, if the 49ers can get those two in 2 years, the Niners offensive line will continue to be solidified. I just feel like the Niners can add those two guys and pretend they got 10 picks and they can add a guard. They don't got to trade up. They don't got to do anything. they could get the specific needs and fits for their team. And I'm hoping that they get it. Tony, I sent you the link, so hopefully you'll be clicking on very shortly. Tony can talk a little bit more about these offensive linemen. But I'm telling you right now, if you got Colt McKivitz for one more year, this year and next year, because you extended him, right? And then this kid doesn't necessarily have to come in and start. You've already signed your guard for next year. You still got Spencer Burford that can rotate in and out. And then you can allow Roger Rosengarten to come in here, whip him into 49er shape because he's great at zone blocking. Like, I just feel like Roger Rosengarten is a 49er. Like, to me, his measurables fit 49ers. Let me talk a little bit more about him before we get into this Brandon Ayuk stuff. I just think it would be a good piece for the 49ers to grab this kid. Now, the question is, I don't think he'll be available at 63. He should be, according to, you know, these mock draft simulators, but this isn't the real draft is not a mock draft. This is not. Players are going to get drafted off of scheme fit. And that's what you want, right? So Rosengarten, to me, would fit the 49ers, that zone scheme. And I want to talk about his blocking grade. Look, I don't care about his overall grade, and I know his run blocking grade was only a 58.9. You got to watch what he does on football film at the right tackle spot. He's there. He's there big time. And again, this kid ran a 4.92, if I'm not mistaken. 4.92 at the combine. Let me get his Roger Rosengarten combine. But I know his 10-yard split was a 1.69. I do know that. That I know. That number stuck in my head. God dang it, that ain't the name I was looking for. All right, let's see. 6'6 kid. He's a little shorter than I think Trent Williams is 6'7. So my bad, a little shorter. All right, let's get his combine results. Let's see what we got. All right, so Roger Rosengarten, he had a 1.73. My bad. So that's three more than Trent Williams. But he's still fast at the end of the day. So he's a little bit, but his 40 was a 4.92. So he's pretty fast. His vertical jump was His vertical was a 30-inch, and he broad jumped 9.5. His shutter was a 4.6. All right. Look, at the end of the day, I think the Niners will get quicker on the outside. You get back to the outside run zone. I think that's huge for the San Francisco 49ers. I think that's something. Now, we could use a second rounder on him. We could use a second rounder if he's available. That's the hardest part, like if he's available. Tony, what's going on, bro?
What's up? What's going on?
Nothing, man. We almost there. We 10 days away from the draft, man.
Yeah, buddy. It's here.
So we've talked about the draft buzz going on about Roger Rosengarten. I know you've got a chance to look at some film on him. I know your guy is Kingsley Sawamatea out of BYU. I know that's your dude. Yeah. But have you gotten a chance to really look at this kid, Roger Rosengarten, and what are your thoughts on him, and how do you think he'll fit the Niners?
Absolutely. I had some time to look at him. Put it like this. I had my eye on him in the beginning, but then, like, you know, this was before, like, combine. Obviously, I watched the national championship game, Washington versus Michigan. I'm sure you did too. And, you know, they're saying he struggled and stuff like that.
They all did, though.
I think exactly. In total, I think the whole line struggled. That's including a guy that's supposed to be going in the top 15. But I will say this, and it's not because of, like, the reports that have been coming out as far as ties to San Francisco. I get a lot of Joe Staley vibes from him.
Oh, I wonder why. I wonder why. You can explain it.
It's not only because he's working with him, right? It's not only because he's working with him, right? I'll go into the ties first. The ties are, obviously, like we just spoke about, Staley is working with him. That's number one. Number two, this trickles back all the way to his high school career, who he was coached by one Ed McCaffrey, and who installed an outside zone offense at his high school. Don't know the high school's name off the top of my head, but
me neither.
He was there. He did play. He's been playing in an outside zone system pretty much his whole career. Couple fun facts about him. Big dude. Very, very athletic, like you touched on with the short shuttle, or you said the short shuttle, right?
Yeah, so his 10-yard split was a 1.73, which is still phenomenal for a 6'6 guy that ran a 4.92, like, you know.
Correct. And, you know, this is what you're looking at. You're not in the top 15. You're not in the top 10. So you're not going to get those home run guys. I can't see them moving up for a player like that due to the situation that they're in right now as far as, you know, going through the phases of replenishing this roster, making decisions for moving on from aging veterans and stuff like that and having to backfill their roster now. So I'm just going to say this. Kiper came out and said he had him mocked at 31 to the Niners.
And that's where I'm going to ask you. Like,
now, my issue with this is that is it technically a little bit of a reach? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens if there's a run on tackles? Does it become a reach?
Good point.
Right? Now, here's the flip side of it. Remember, we have spots that we need to fill on this roster. So if you go, let's just say, name a player that could fall to the 49ers other than an offensive lineman that they would consider taking.
I'm like a Kool-Aid McKinstry might be there. You know, you can get a top-tier cornerback, something that the Niners have never drafted in their life. That one of the defensive tackles can fall.
Maybe one of the defensive tackles, the kid from Texas, not Sweat, yep. The other.
Byron Murphy the second, yes, sir.
Murphy. Let's say Murphy's there. They jump, they take Murphy, right? I don't think 63, they're going to be able to get Rosengartner.
So now we got to move up in the second round.
Now you got to ask yourself a question. Is it worth it taking Rosengartner at 31? Or is it worth it not taking him, taking Murphy, for filling another role, position that you need? Okay. Mm-hmm. Because there is going to be transition next offseason as well. Mm-hmm. So, and you let him go, and you let him start going into the second round, and now you got to give up something to go grab him,
mm-hmm.
right? So basically what I'm trying to say is it a reach or is it not a reach? I don't think it's a reach because he's projected to go, in my opinion, what I've been reading.
Round two.
Yeah. And the 49ers are picking 31, and their next pick ain't till 63.
Yeah, which is the end of round two.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So now that's where you got to come in and try to make that decision. Is it worth the risk of letting him go and trading back up?
I don't really understand the reaching stuff. Like, I'm the type of person, you put your big board together. If your player is there on the big board, you pick your player. If it's your player, because the Niners are in the position to draft best player available and in the position to draft the players that fit them. They don't have to get a certain they're going to specifically get players that literally fit what they have because they've already built their system. So if Rosengarten is there, this is tough. I'm sorry. I'm not going to lie. If Rosengarten is there and Byron Murphy is there, I'm drafting Byron Murphy. I'm drafting Byron Murphy. I'm sorry. I think he's a generational player. I don't see him slipping past the Rams, though. I just want to put that out there. But I'm drafting Byron Murphy, and I'm trading up in round two. You can have my third, fourth, whatever it costs, if I need to. Because I think Rosengarten is the tackle, in my opinion, that will fit the 49ers. Not in 2024, though. Like, he can play in 2024 if he gets the opportunity, but it's really about 2025. I really think that. And so I feel like this is the tackle. They get athletic on the outside. He can learn from Trent Williams in there. They can double up on tackle in this draft. You can get the kid out of – you can get Christian Jones out of Texas. You can get my boy Caden Wallace. Javon Foster is going to be there from Missouri. You can double up on tackle, but you got other tackles still here that may not be here in 2025 because who are the ones that are going to be free agents? The whole damn offensive line basically isn't Aaron Banks free agent next year. I think Jalen, what's his name? Moore, he's a free agent. You're going to have some holes to fill. So that's why I think they got to literally, they can draft a couple of tackles or draft a guard that play tackle that can kick in the guard and go back to. This is going to be an interesting draft for the San Francisco 49ers.
And just one thing, just to finish it off about Rosengarten, right? If you look at what the 49ers do, and if you look at what they look for in their offensive tackles, it screams Rosengarten.
Because, thank you. Thank you.
Because of his
athleticism.
He is a good run blocker.
He can kick out to that level. I don't know about you, Tony, but I miss zone running. It hasn't been the same.
He needs a little refinement or polish.
In pass pro.
Right? But a lot of these kids do coming out of college because of the offense that they're playing. They get the ball out of their hands quick. Boom, 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 boom. You don't need to really pass protect. But I'm going to tell you the one thing I'm watching his film that 100% sticks out to me that I love. He is not the same in his pass sets every play.
No. It's like he has different.
He switches it up.
Yeah, he has different variations.
it's not someone that's consistently, you know, at the snap, that right leg's firing back and he's mm-hmm. setting up his kick slide and he's getting the stance, like his pass pro stance.
I agree. Butt
sink, chest up, arms ready to punch. He changes it up, bro. He'll fake like it's a run. He'll do a kick step and then just charge right at the guy and won't let him get upfield. So he'll do like a quick set, fire out, and engage him. Then he'll just go to a quick set and just sit in his kick step and sit and let the lineman come to him. So he changes it up, which is good because now when you're watching the film, you can't pick up on tendencies because it's him on any play that can snap on it and say, all right, listen, I see something of what this guy likes to do. He's faster than me. He's fast off the edge. I'm not that fast. Mm-hmm. I struggle a little bit versus speed on the edge. Mm-hmm. So if it's a wide non-alignment and they're pinning their ears back with no responsibility and just going, he can engage them. He can hit him with the oop-de-oop and screw their game up. So now the next rep, the guy's going to be like, all right, I'm going to fake outside and try to beat him inside. Now he makes his adjustments, you know, God willing, and he engages them. And it's not consistency, right? It's not tendencies. These defensive ends are going to have to really do their homework and really play down in and down out because they don't know what they're going to get.
Yeah, so the scouting report would be he's inconsistent on the way he's going to set up to, you know, counter the attack, right? So how do we prepare for that? So that's a gift, though. Like, and I saw that at the Senior Bowl. So, like, there was reps that he won on the inside. There was reps he won on the outside, but it was due to the technique. And he was pretty decent at the Senior Bowl. He wasn't bad at all. He just wasn't the main one that would stick out at the tackle or whatever. But I thought he had a solid Senior Bowl. He had a solid game. And, you know, you can use it would be unfair to base his play off of that Michigan game. Them cats was firing on all cylinders. They had nine rotating defensive linemen, bro. Like, they always get into the quarterback at some point. They were waiting for that offensive line to break down. Even your boy Troy Fontano didn't have a great game. So, and he's a top 10 tackle. So at the end of the day, I'm just saying like that, like for those that are out there, well, he didn't play well. I don't care. That's the game. I remember I kept saying that John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan are going to look at that game just like they did last year. They did it the year before with TCU and Michigan. They drafted players for those specific games. I didn't know who D. Winters was until that game when he had that interception in that game. Like, you know what I mean? So they're going to use that game. They're going to use their workouts. I just feel like even with his, you know, his discrepancies, you know, on, you know, from his offensive lineman skills, you got to take the factor that he's working with one of the greatest offensive linemen of all time, and he loves to run outside zone. That's his thing. He loves that. I remember Joe Staley loved it too. It made Joe Staley amazing and great. And I think when you're
very similar, these two guys,
very similar.
very similar out of the collegiate level. Staley was a smidge better as a pass protector, but agreed, very similar in the run game and getting out with the athleticism. Someone asked in the chat, can he transition to left tackle? We don't know. He's been strictly a right. I think he had a couple snaps at left.
He had three at left tackle in 2023. Yeah,
nothing like we could really track and like evaluate on, but mainly on the right side. I like what I've seen from him on the right side. I think he's the perfect fit. And just real quick, let me get into the fit, right? Yes, there are better offensive tackles in this draft.
Agreed. 100%. Agreed.
What the fan base needs to understand is you can't go with the sexy pick. You got to go with the player
that fits
his skill set, that best fits for what you look to do or require your right tackle to do, offensive tackle.
That's what I'm trying to get the faithful to understand.
I've seen everyone say, like, I was on with Terradome wants to trade up and get JC Latham. Guys, we had JC Latham and Trent Brown, same type of player.
Same type of player.
They don't want that.
That's why I don't think Mims would be a candidate either, because he's just big. I like Mims. He's quicker. I like him.
I'm going to say something right now. I'm going to get
he's fast. He's got the speed to kick outside. I'm with it.
I like Mims. I hope another team takes Mims, and I hope he does well with that team, because I don't want the 49ers to take him and it blow up in their face.
I got you. I think he has the ability to play on the next level when he's healthy. That's all I'm saying about Mims. And if he's available at 31. Okay, Mims or Rosengarten at 31?
I just can't see them take. I can't see them take the guy.
But who would you take?
Wayne, I can't see them taking a guy with 8 starts. I can't see them taking a guy. There's a team
that's going to do it, though. There's a team that's going to do it. There's a team. Yeah. And that's why you said you hope that.
That's going to be the team that could say, all right, listen, we're going to put you in the weight room. We're going to get you up to speed. You're going to sit the first year. I don't think the 49ers want that. I think they want someone to come in and truly challenge McKivitz and try to get the best out of McKivitz and try to win that job from McKivitz. Is it mandatory? No, it's not. But
So the only reason why you don't want Mims is because he only had 8 starts.
His experience? It's the same thing. Yeah, his experience, starting experience.
I'm not mad at that.
And his injuries.
I don't think his injuries are too detrimental to him
that
playing.
That ankle surgery he had was a big surgery he had.
Okay. I'm just asking. You're not wrong. I'm just asking what your preference is. See, I'm a little different. I think he'll overcome the injury, but I'm going off of hope and ceiling, right? But that's a lot, you know.
Ceiling is great. The ceiling is there, right? We talked about it, right? Remember when we talked about the infamous draft class with the quarterback?
Yes.
All right, everyone said, you know, Mac Jones's ceiling is here, but Trey Lance's ceiling is here, and this guy's ceiling is up here. But it's kind of like, all right, do you want the steadiness? Do you want the quicker impact? Do you want?
See, I just feel like the Niners don't. They want that, but they don't need it. Like, does that make sense? Like, I think the Niners are set on going into the season with their offensive line the way that it is. And what they add to it is the bonus. So God forbid if they drafted Mims, or if they drafted any one of these guys, the thing that they're going to bring in is the competition. That I agree with. But I don't see them beating out Colton McKivitz year one, unless you're moving up and you're getting the Talese Fuagas, the Joe Alts, which I don't think I would like him on this 49ers. Oh, he's too stiff for me. Pause. Like, unless you get one of them top tier guys. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's just my opinion. But the other guys, I think, can come in, make practice better, compete, and if they had to come in, you would feel comfortable with them coming in, relieving or due to an injury or whatever. Like, you would be good. Like, you know what I'm saying? But I just really think that the way that the Niners are drafting, especially at the tackle position, just because of what they did in the offseason, they extended McKivitz. Like, if they didn't like McKivitz, why give them the extension? It's to produce to draft an offensive line, one you ain't got to reach for, and allow to develop, right?
I'm going to tell you the McKivitz extension, the thought process behind his extension is, number one, there's no glaring need going into the draft.
Bingo.
Free agency covered everything across the board.
Facts. Right?
The only one questionable spot we'll say is the safety, because they're still sniffing around players in free agency. But as of right now, there is no absolute glaring, screaming need. Like, the game's tomorrow. Who are we putting here? There's gotcha. None of them. So what they do is they do this every year. They add these pieces, not big name guys. They supplement using tier two, tier three free agency. And then they go in the draft and they do their thing. But my thing is this, right? McKivitz re-signed to give them that ability. Mm-hmm. I think their ultimate goal with McKivitz is one of two things.
Swing A, tackle.
Kick inside and compete at the right guard spot. B, swing tackle, like you just said.
Yeah, you're right. Which is where he thrived.
And now here's the third option, and this is the real wild card, right? Because we've seen this. We've seen this in a big game with McKivitz. If, knock on wood.
I got you. I know where you're going. To Trent another Williams.
Line,
yes, lineman. Sir. Yes,
McKivitz
sir.
McKivitz instantly goes there. And now they don't have to worry about the right side.
Or the left side.
Correct.
I see what you're saying. I got you.
Well,
I get
now,
it.
Now, what happens? Let's just say this. Hypothetically, the Niners win the Super Bowl this year and Trent Williams walks away. They're not like, oh, shit, who's playing left tackle?
They got their tackle for one more year.
Exactly. So now they would draft a left tackle next year, roll with McKivitz, mm-hmm. and prepare that left tackle to take over as the future left tackle going forward. They're very fruitful. They're very well organized when it comes to this.
I agree.
Just more successful on the outcomes.
well, listen, it is not easy because the Niners are good. So people have to remember, like, if the Niners sucked, then they would get a top left tackle in this particular draft. But because the Niners finished second to last, literally, they're drafting second to last. So they're hoping that there isn't a run on tackles. Tony, if there's not a run on tackles, we can kiss Rosengarten and some of these lower tier guys goodbye, because some of those top guys may fall. Like, right?
See, that's what I'm saying. That's where it's so tough to predict, right? You don't know. It's a fucking crapshoot. The NFL is
a crapshoot.
So it's so hard to sit here and say, okay, I think they're going to do this. I think because logistically, like all the mock drafts, if you look at that pick at number 31, right? If you look at it, 1A, 1B is Kingsley from BYU and Rosengartner from Washington. I think at that 31 range, right? Mm. If they want to go tackle. Yeah. Fonatu's not going to be there. You're going to have to move up. And I mean, you're going to have to move up to get this kid.
Yeah. He's the left tackle. You got to remember, left tackles go higher. They protect the blind side of these quarterbacks. Well, if they're right-handed quarterbacks, right.
That's so, a good segue, let's talk about this.
Yeah, in this position, in this situation, Rosengarten protected the blind side of Michael Penix Jr.
There we go.
There you go. That in this situation, because he's left-handed, right? So, I got you. Let's switch this. We'll switch to say we got to talk about Brandon Ayuk because we got a few more minutes before we get out of here. So the Brandon Ayuk, this weekend was a crazy weekend. Like, it was good. It almost got ugly, but it started with Ayuk unfollowing the 49ers on Instagram. Then a video came out of him working at Applebee's, which I just thought was amazing because people were just like. Shit.
That was cool, right?
Like, and the fun part was he was giving them hints. They so stupid. He was giving them hints that he was a football player. The whistle. I ain't gonna front. That burger looked good. I might have to hit up at Applebee's today. And then and then they started catching on to that. This you look familiar. So I thought that was really cool. Shout out to Applebee's, Brandon Ayuk. I forgot who helped put that together, but I thought that was dope. But then Tony. It kind of took a turn because you got NFL insider Ben Albright with the text messages, Brandon Ayuk's requesting a trade, all the stuff gets put out. It gets iced very quickly for Brandon Ayuk's agent. But Tony, like I'm glad you joined this show. Because I want people, I want you to keep it real, like with the faithful, because I know everybody's emotions are going to be, they're either up, they're either down, some are in the middle, but, this is normal though, right? Like this is just normal stuff we're going to see.
Well, it's a normal thing with the 49ers players, obviously. I don't see Justin Jefferson deleting the Vikings off of his thing.
Wait a minute. Like I'm not going front. Justin Jefferson did put out a comment, Tony, before you continue. He said something about the quarterback position and why the hell did you get rid of such and such? Why didn't you re-sign such and such and such? And so he was going to be mad. Like, if they didn't figure – so I guarantee you the Vikings are trading up to get one of these quarterbacks. I guarantee it. Like, I guarantee. Because Sam Darnold, not it for him. He knew that. So he did mention something. He ain't just sitting back chilling. He ain't looking to sign no extension until that quarterback is solidified. So I do want to put that out there.
That is a little risky, though. That is a little risky. You know, no – you know, not locking yourself up, you know, going out there on a one-year deal –
coming off the injury.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? I don't really give a fuck. I don't care. He's not our wide receiver. Look, we talking about Brandon Ayuk.
Okay. What I think about Brandon Ayuk, I think he will. I think he will be back with the Niners. But I think the Niners have a number. I think they will travel north of that number reasonably. So, a reasonable take
north of whose number? Deebo Samuel's guaranteed number, because he's gonna get higher than Devontae Smith's guaranteed number, which was $51 million. I believe Deebo was at like 58.
Yeah,
he's got to get higher than 58.
But this is the thing, though, Wayne, and this is what I was trying to say in the chat today.
Uh oh,
these guys signed 3-year extensions.
I feel not signing
a 3-year extension, though.
You don't see him signing more than a 3-year extension?
I don't.
And why do I feel like he'll do the 4-year extension? Because of age.
And it allows the Niners to stretch.
To stretch it out. At least that's what the Niners are going to offer him. Will he sign it? That's up to him and his agent.
I honestly think the Niners might go 5.
That's what Oscar said. But I don't think Ryan, his agent, which is really good friends with John Lynch, I don't think they go for that. Because they need that option to get that next tier. That's a bid, bro. 5 years? That's a bid. That's great for the Niners.
Yeah.
But okay. But
the flip side of it is this. If it goes for potentially 5 years, that's only raising his money. Let's use Devontae Smith.
Three years, $75 million.
At 51 or 52 guaranteed.
51 guarantee.
All right, so now that's 3 years. If you add 2 more years on, that guarantee has to go north of 51.
Exactly. That's why I said that it's about the guaranteed number.
Yeah, but by extending those two, by adding 2 more years, you could raise.
Listen, if I'm BA, I want the guaranteed number in less years. Right? Like, if I'm his agent. If you're the Niners and you're countering it, so listen, we'll give you a guaranteed number. Just give me more years. They got to find this middle, which I think is going to be at the 4-year number and a little north over 60.
What's his year? What do you think his year on paper is going to be?
It's got to be 28, 20. That's too high.
I don't think the Niners do it.
Debo's 26, right? 23?
23, I think 22.75 or something. He's at 23.
So 28 is too high.
I don't think the Niners do 28. I think his agent comes in pushing for 28.
Right, and then the Niners might settle at 25. Obviously,
they shoot high, they shoot low.
Uh-huh.
I think with Smith getting 25.
He's got to get higher than 25.
I think with Smith getting 25, I think with – see, now – Ridley got 24.
He's got to get higher than 25.
Yes, I don't think the 49ers will go to 28. I don't.
No. They don't have to. Yeah. I'm his agent. I'm pushing 28.
Yeah. Well, now, what happens if this guy – what happens if CeeDee Lamb comes in and signs 28? What happens if Jefferson comes in and signs for 30?
Why do I feel like the San Francisco 49ers don't give a flying? It's like they don't care about that. If they cared, they would be moving to 100%. Get this.
I agree with you. 100%. I agree with you. But the thing is, I think they have their philosophy. They have their number. They will trickle a little bit above it, but I don't see them competing. Like,
I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? They have their price.
So really, the competition is not the other guys. It's Debo. It's that number, right?
It's so, Debo combined with the other guys, right?
I just feel like because Debo is a Niner, he's going to want to at least be taken care of by the Niners. So what if Brandon Ayuk took a deal and said, just give me 24, 25? Like, what if it's not the other guys? What if it's just being the highest paid wide receiver as the Niner and the guarantee ends up being high? I think that's what it comes down to. They're different roles.
And
right?
The other key thing is the language of the contract.
Oh, yeah. We don't ever talk about the language, dog. That's like the boring part.
That's the kicker.
That's what took Nick Bosa so long to sign. Like, that language had to be to the T.
Right? So it's going to be the game, right?
Yeah. With the workout bonuses, class, the incentives.
And then with Debo's class, they all waited for the other one to sign. Right?
Correct.
And now what's going to happen? And I use class with Jefferson, CD Lamb, this one, that one. They're waiting for someone to go out and set that market for that class. That's what I think they're waiting for. But if Jefferson sets it and it gets crazy, I think the Niners will try to get him to play on what he's on the contract for this year and reevaluate next year. And listen, no matter what, this is what the fan base has to understand. He's protected for the next 3 years for the 49ers.
Yeah, this year
and then two franchise tags.
But the
Niners have full control of this situation.
Full control. But the question is, I have a question. I don't know how to ask it, but I definitely have a question because I just feel like we've watched receivers get tagged and we've watched bad blood. I don't think receivers want to be tagged. They want security. They want all that type of stuff in their deals. That's them going out, beating up their bodies for a year on a tag to get paid an astronomical amount of money for the tag. But it doesn't secure them. It doesn't allow them to settle at home. It doesn't allow them to buy a home. It changes up things. And I just don't want that to happen for Brandon Ayuk or the 49ers, right? Like, we want the best for both parties. Like, we want the Niners to be able to continue to compete for championships with the best players on their roster. And Brandon Ayuk is clearly one of the best players. I don't give a freak if he's option five. He's one of the best players on their roster, hands down. I'm sure you talked about language, Tony, that language is going to be in the contract. He needs blank, blank, blank amount of targets per game, like something like that. Like, it's going to be crazy.
No, yeah, definitely. 100%. I don't know. I think they'll be all right.
All right. I know you got to jump off, but how worried are you about the situation? Or is it you just rolling with the, it's just rolling with it, you know.
I'm just rolling with it. I'm going to stay rolling with it. I think they can get something done. But I'm going to say this. Hi. Hi, buddy. I'm going to say this. If they do get something, say hi. Say hi, Wayne.
Hey, nephew.
Say hi, Wayne.
Hey.
I feel good today. So I do think if they get something done, and it's a number where it's a little bit north of what we think the team will stay at, the corresponding move is coming next year.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think they can allocate that much. Mm-mm. Because look at it, Wayne. I'm going to be honest with you. Think about this. Two major trades in the last three seasons or last two seasons, right? Kansas City moved on from Tyreek Hill.
I know.
And what's his name? Just got traded this year from Buffalo. Both quarterbacks hitting their big numbers in their contracts.
Next year will be Brock Purdy's big numbers.
Not next year.
Oh,
I think.
but he'll get the contract extension.
He's getting the extension next year, but I don't think it's the Bucks.
I get what you're saying. It won't hit in 2025, but 2026, 2027, when the big numbers come in.
You also have Fred Warner. You also have Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa's cap hit is in the 30s towards the end of his contract.
Yeah. Probably starting next year.
Yeah, I mean, Bosa would be a guy that they'll just keep trickling money around to keep him there and be able to stay active in free agency and keeping the nucleus together. But Trent Williams, if he wants to come back another year after this year, big money. So there's decisions that are going to have to, you know, Kittle too, don't forget.
They done restructured those contracts so many times, like it's going to be crazy. And you talk about players getting older. Quick question from 805 Blackbeard. Wayne and Tony, any chance we draft any one of these legacy players? Brendan Rice, Luke McCaffrey, Frank Gore Jr., or Tariq Owens, which is Terrell Owens' son.
I would love to have one. I would love to have them all, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I do think Rice's kid's going to go higher because of the name. He is a big physical wide receiver. He's not the fastest. He's very similar to his dad. Effort, preparation, route running. He could be a little bit better on his route running, but he's a competitor. And I like
him though.
He gets open. And I think Frank Gore Jr. will be a San Francisco 49er.
Do you think they draft him? That's the question.
I think if they don't on their board in that last pick in the seventh round, I think it could be like a telephone call that will be recorded on 49ers.com where both of them are crying. Actually, no, Frank Gore wouldn't cry. He's just like, yo, get your ass up here, bro.
We got a super chat contribution before we jump out of here from Green Glass Fools. Our boy, the coach, still on YouTube. Where he be? I haven't seen him on YouTube. I'm not sure if you have. Right, guys, this is the offseason. A lot of guys are going to be taking breaks and – you know, but, you know, the content is definitely here, man. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. Tony, it's draft week coming up next week. The Niners got a few more, you know, they got about 16 more 30 visits for some of these players. You got some players. Is there any, do you know, like the list is 14. Is there anyone you're excited to see off the list at the 30 visits? I can read the names. Evan Anderson, Kaden Watt.
Today.
He just added today. Andrew Phillips, cornerback out of Kentucky. Javon Baker, wide receiver out of UCF. Brandon Dorless, defensive lineman out of Oregon. Trevin Wallace, linebacker from Kentucky. Malachi Corley, Brendan Rice. They got some receivers on this list. They got three receivers on this list. Jamal Hill from Oregon. I'm not seeing too much about him. Show Smith Wade. Marshawn Nealon is one of my favorites. I have him at, if you can just look up Marshawn Nealon, let me know what you think in our text messages.
I'll check him out.
All right, Sione Vaki, Michael Hall as well, defensive tackle out of Ohio State, Michael Hall Jr., and DeCamrion Richardson. Any of those players stand out to you
Richardson,
so far?
I like DeCamrion Richardson.
Yeah.
And the guy that they added today, Eric Hall.
Oh.
Eric Hall and you know
tight end.
He was tight end. He was a Michigan guy.
Yeah, he was a Michigan guy.
If he did not have injury issues, I think he would be probably ranked as the top four tight ends in this draft.
It's going to be tough.
Skill set, talent, speed, but injuries are a major flag.
I'm just not high on drafting injury guys, but he has the size. He can catch. He can get yak. I don't know. I'm a huge Ben Sinnott fan out of Kansas State, and I like Jared Wiley out of TCU, and Tip Raymond out of Illinois or Arizona, one of them two. Illinois, I think.
Illinois. He's the blocker.
He's the blocker. So there's some guys that I like. You know what I mean? But Eric Awe would be a good guy if the Niners chose to draft him. He would come in to me be immediately tight end too if he's healthy. 100, like there's not a doubt in my mind. Played at Michigan, was well there. Entered the transfer portal, went to Iowa, got injured, and unfortunately, you know, it is what it is. All right, Tony. One more thing, we'll get up out of here. Brendan Ferrigno with the super chat contribution. Thanks, bro. He says Breezy and Tony's always killing the game. Love y'all. Love you too, bro. Tony, final thoughts before we jump up out of here, dog.
Getting close. Fun time. Best time of the year. It's Christmas. It's getting close. Can't wait to see it. Let's find out who we have. And, yeah, we're all going to be locked in doing our thing. So it's going to be fun.
It's going to be real fun. The question on the poll, Tony, was should the 49ers pay two top-tier wide receivers? Tony, your answer should be no. But I'm curious. Yo, Tony, when it comes to money, Tony don't play around. Thank y'all so much for tuning into the Wayne Breezy Show. Till the next time, the BAM Show today, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be doing a live mock draft for you guys, man. Mock draft 5.0. See you later.
I be sipping gold bar whiskey on the rocks and a 24 karat gold on a watch. My 7-1 Chevy be tipping nonstop, sounding like Trick Williams on the block. So you know we can't stop. We be banging through your speakers. Wayne Breezy on the field or in the bleachers. You can tune into my show and I'm a teacher. Wayne Breezy.